Not any of the house. Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. And now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that the Lord hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As Mephibosheth said the king, he shall eat at my table, and as one of the king's sons. Amen. Every once in a while, a ewe will give birth to a lamb, and they will reject it. If the lamb is returned to that ewe, that mother may even kick the poor little lamb. Once a ewe rejects one of her lambs, it is proven that they will not change their mind. These little lambs will hang their heads so low that it looks like something is wrong with their neck. Their spirit is broken. These lambs are called bummer lambs. Unless the shepherd intervenes, that lamb will die, rejected and alone. So do you know what the shepherd does? He takes that rejected little one into his own home. He feeds him by hand, keeps it warm by his own fire. And he will wrap it up with blankets and hold it to his chest so the bummer lamb can hear his heartbeat. Once the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd will place it back in the field with the rest of the flock. But that little lamb will never forget the sound of the shepherd's voice. He will never forget how the shepherd cared for him when others rejected him. And when the shepherd calls the flock, guess who runs first? That's right. It's the bummer lamb. He knows the voice of the shepherd intimately. It is not that the bummer lamb is loved more. He just knows the shepherd more intimately, and he knows who loves it. So many of us are bummer lambs, rejected and broken. But he is the good shepherd, and he cares, and he holds us. So this morning, my simple message is titled, From One Bummer Lamb to Another. Amen. Can we pray? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the love that I feel flowing through here. It is so deep and so thick that no one could deny it. Lord, you've been waiting for this moment, for this day. You've been planning. You've been getting the atmosphere right, and you've been preparing our hearts for this very moment. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch my voice, my mind, my heart. Lord, that I may present your love to your people. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. We just love him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You may be seated. From one bummer lamb to another. This story of David and Jonathan and Saul is one powerful story. It is a story of love and loyalty. It is a story of respect and understanding. It is a story of anointing and submission. It's so many things. The fact that David was so careful with Saul, even though Saul was so wrong. Saul wanted to kill David, but David, in his anointing and his calling, he decided that the office that Saul held was of more respect than his actions. And even when Saul sought his life, David would not retaliate. In fact, the moment that Saul fell asleep and David snuck down into the camp and he cut just a little piece of Saul's garment so that he could show that he was there, the Bible tells us and shows us that David was smote in his heart even for that little discretion that he took to take the piece of garment off of Saul's robe. And even that, he felt he had been disrespectful. And so when Saul was ultimately killed on the battlefield and Jonathan, David's friend, was killed along with him, the men came to say that he had found them and that he had actually helped them. David did not rejoice over the death of his enemy, but he wept and he retaliated even to the person that brought him the news. That's how much he loved Saul and Jonathan. And so when he was finally come into his kingdom and he was secure there, the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 9 that he called his servants and he requested, he said, "Is there anyone of the house of Saul that I can bless? Is there anyone that I can show how I feel about my fallen king and about my friend that was his son? Is there anyone?" And so someone said, "Well, Ziba is here. Maybe we could ask him." And he was the servant of Saul, so he knows them better than anyone. And so he brought Ziba in. And he made sure he was the right person. And he said, "Yes, sir, I am that servant. I am the one." And so he said, "Is there any of the house of Saul that I may bless?" And he said, "Well, there is one, and that is Mephibosheth." But notice how the servant described him. He said, "But he is lame on his feet. He's broken." And we're talking about a time that handicaps was not just something that we saw in people and helped people through, and the disabilities that they had, nowadays we work around those and we have rules and guidelines about buildings and stairs and all of these things and helps and special parking places. But this was not that day. This was a day when someone was broken or they were not like everyone else, that they were shunned and pushed aside, and they were on the outskirts of society. And so when Ziba described Mephibosheth, he said, "But he is lame." You don't really want him. You don't really desire him to be in your presence. But David didn't even address that part of the story. He just pressed past it. And he said, I want somebody to go find him. And I want somebody to bring him to my house. Because not only am I going to restore everything that belonged to Saul. And I'm going to give it to Mephibosheth. But now I'm going to have him. He is going to be in my house. And his feet are going to be under my table. And for his whole life, he is going to eat from the king's table. He's never going to want for anything. And so we see Mephibosheth as he's brought to King David. And this is a day when the king that came into power, he would wipe the slate clean from the other families that were before him so that there would not be any uprising, so there would not be any claim to the throne. And so I'm sure Mephibosheth was shaking and he was nervous that the king had called him there just to kill him. But oh, he found something very different when he came into the presence of David. David said, oh, I loved your father. Jonathan was my friend, and because of your father, I'm going to give you everything that belonged to him, that belonged to Saul. And not only that, I'm not going to just restore unto you the things that belong to you, but I'm going to put you at my table. I'm going to feed you with my food. Oh, guess what? When his lame legs was under the master's table, he looked like everybody else above the table. When he was eating, when he was enjoying the food of the king, when he was enjoying the process of the palace, I want you to know he looked like everybody else because God doesn't care how you get here. He just wants you to get here. He loves you. Oh, you may be broken, you may be wounded, you may be hurt from your past, but oh, at the king's table, everybody is equal. At the king's table, everybody has a plate, everybody has food. And so, in our lives, every one of us have had times that we were rejected, that we were thrown aside, that people we thought we could trust and people we thought we could love and we thought would always be with us, they left anyway. We've all been a part of situations that we've invested time and effort and money and love and kindness and strength into people, but yet when they left, they didn't even think twice about it, but they walked on off. We've all been that way. But oh, I want you to know that you and I have a shepherd today that is willing to find us. He is willing to search the highway and the hedges for the one lost sheep while the 99 stay in the fold. He is the Father that is always searching the hillside. He's always looking to the horizon for a familiar silhouette to come down the road. And when he does, and when he sees it, he doesn't sit still. But my Bible says the Father ran to the prodigal son. He threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him. And it wasn't long until he said, hey, go kill the fatted calf. Notice he didn't say, go get a calf. He said, go kill the fatted calf. That tells me that the Father had been preparing for this day. Somewhere on the days after the prodigal son left, he said, hey, buddy, servant, come on with me. We're going to go out to the field. He said, you see that little one right there? He doesn't have any blemishes on him. He looks great. His form, his shape is just right. I want you to bring him in, and I want you to put him in that special corral, and I want you to feed him a little better than everybody else's cows. I want you to care for him. I want you to search his fur every day to see if there's leeches, there's bugs. I want you to get him off. I want him to be so healthy. Because one day, I don't know when it'll be. It could be on the 13th of June in 2021. I don't know. But one day I'm going to get up from the breakfast table. And I'm going to wander out to the front porch. And I'm going to look out. And on that day, I'm going to see a familiar silhouette against the morning sky. And I'm going to see that familiar gait as my son walks down. Oh, he may be a little stooped. He may be a little humble from the hurt and from the bad choices and from the mistakes. But on that day, when I say get the fatted calf, you know which one I'm talking about. Hey, and servant number two, I want you to go get one of my son's best robes that he did not take with him. And I want you to lay it out. We'll make sure it's clean. We'll make sure it looks brand new. Hey, servant number three, go get the sandals and polish them up real good. Set them in a place where they won't get dusty. Servant number four, I trust you. And so here's my son's ring. And one day when he comes back, we're going to put this on his hand. Not for adornment, but for position. And so on that day when he saw his son's familiar silhouette come over the hillside, he could not sit, but he ran. And I'm sure as he was running, he would say, servant, one, two, three, four, get ready, because I think that's him. I could be wrong because the silhouette's a little stooped. The gait is a little slower than I thought it would be. But oh, I think it's him. I've been looking for him every day since he left. And I think that's him. And so now I'm going to run to him. But oh, don't be too far behind me. Because once I realize it's him, we're about to prepare that party that we have been planning for. And so when he got there, he threw his arms around his neck. He kissed him on the cheek and on the neck. And he said, oh, come on. Put the robe on him. You know which robe. You had it pressed and laid out. It's all clean and ready. You go get the sandals. You know which ones. It's the ones I told you to polish and make sure was all together and ready. And you go get the ring and put it on his hand. And all the while the son is saying, Father, I'm sorry. If you'll just let me come back and be a servant, I'll do that. That's okay. That's all I need. And the father just pressed right past it, Brother Fernando. He said, oh, go get a robe. Go get the sandals. Go get the ring. And go kill the fatted calf. Because my son that was dead is now alive again. Oh, from one bummer lamb to another. Oh, I want you to know that all of us have been rejected at times through our own fault even, through other people's fault. But oh, the shepherd never forgot. The shepherd was ready for a day like this. The shepherd was ready for an altar service just like this. He was ready. He was waiting. The robe, the sandals, the ring, the feast is all prepared. And so, from one bummer lamb to another, I hear a familiar voice. Because I remember some 33 years ago in a location quite like this one right here, as the preacher poured out his heart. And I was running. I was isolating myself. But I remember I couldn't sit. I couldn't wait. And I remember getting as low as I could get. I was younger then. I could put my face on the carpet. I remember crying out to the Lord. And surrendering. But more vivid than all of that, I can remember the tender voice of my Savior saying, how could you think that I would not accept you? How could it even cross your mind that I would not love you? And from that moment to now, from one bummer lamb to another, the shepherd's heart is so real to me. And as an under shepherd in this church, I feel it beating in my own chest. Often I leave the 99 and I go through text and through calls and through knocking on a door. I go and try to find him. I go try to find her. And I wish I could say I always found him. Some would not be found. But those that I did, I came rejoicing. Such were some of you. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, of us. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's the value of one lost lamb. The musicians will come. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you are sanctified. You are justified. Colossians 2 and 13, and you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, had forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. From one bummer lamb to another. You feel broken. You feel alienated. You feel like you have no value. But Jesus inspired me today to take one whole service and one whole sermon just to let you know that he still knows your name. He still knows where you are. And he's picking you up today, and he is carrying you back to his house. He's holding you close so that you might hear his heartbeat. Oh, thank God. Thank God. These altars are open. No more sermon is needed. The most valuable part of every sermon is a response. So from one bummer lamb to another.